out. Hopefully you got your Bibles open, ready. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. I love my Bible. I mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. You'll never exhaust the Scriptures reading it and studying it. And I thank the Lord for my Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. And I did mention that we're going to try to, if the Lord would let us and help us, I believe it's what He have us to do, is preach on in the area of missions. And I got kind of a different kind of message this morning when it comes to missions, but 2 Chronicles chapter 16. But Lord willing, the next four Sundays we'll be talking about this thought of missions. And we believe and practice what I believe is a biblical principle of faith promised missions. There's some chapters in the New Testament there in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that deal in the area of missions and trying to get the gospel around the world and locally. He told them to start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So we have a responsibility to the gospel, to God, to our Bible, to give the gospel out locally and all over the world all at one time. And we do that through the area of faith promised missions. And the Bible tells us before the law, during the law, and after the law that we're supposed to tithe. That is a biblical principle that we're supposed to do. There's illustrations in the Old Testament of this. Before they had currency, they would do it with their first fruits. They would do it with their crops and with their animals, and they would bring those to the temple. That's the way that God designed these things to take place. That is how this church is to function, is through the tithes and offerings. That's how God designed it all the way back in the beginning when He began to establish these things. That was His way of doing it. And He said, if you would do it, I will bless you. Your cup would overflow. You give to God and the things of God. And once you put it in the plate and you give it to God, your tithes. And a tithe means a tenth. And I know there's biblical teachings about giving more than 10%. And that's okay too. But we use that tithe as a rule, the 10%. And then we go up from there. And based off of how God blesses us. And we put that in the plate. And that's what God uses to allow the church to function. There's a power bill, and we're billed on commercial rates here at the church. It's really high. If you want to change with your house bill, we'll exchange any month you want to. Amen. But these are things that got to go forward. The lights, the paper towels, which the young men don't know how to use one or two. They got to use 20 of them. And they don't know how to crumple them up and throw it in the trash can. They just let them all lay wherever. I threatened to have all the men and boys go back to the fellowship hall one morning after service to have a lesson on how to enter the bathroom and to leave the bathroom, and everything that takes place in the middle be done properly and in order. And some of the ladies said, yes, that would be a great idea. And, you know, the little boys get blamed for a lot of things, but some of the men maybe need a lesson in that as well. But all these things take place, and you know how God does it? It's this principle that He established in the Old Testament that God would bless His people and they would just give Him a tenth back to Him. We talked about this idea that it's not really a tenth that we're getting from God, but rather that God is letting us keep 90%. We talked about that before. And so God established that. And that was before the law, during the law, after the law. God, that is His method of providing and paying for the operation of His work, the local church. That's how God did that. And what God, in His goodness, if you obey the Lord in that area, He blesses you. Can you imagine that? God said, would you give 10%? And you do. And then He turns around and gives you all this back. And you're like, man, I'm going to give 10% more. And it's the law of sowing and reaping in the area of finances. A matter of fact, the law of sowing and reaping in the book of Galatians is in reference to taking care of the church and the pastor of the church. If you look at the context of Galatians, the law of sowing and reaping has to do with those areas. The Lord has given me liberty to go full-time here at the church, and I'm going to be doing meetings and some side work and things like that. But you know, that is God's desire for a local church, is for the pastor to be completely given to Him in service. That's God's desire. And I know some people have a hard time with that, and they think, well, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But that's the way God has set it up, and there's a lot of Scripture on that. But tithe is used for all those things. There's people that have problems in the area of finances, and they've got problems at home when it comes to those things. And most of the time, what you find out is they don't have their tithing right. They don't have their giving right. And again, I don't mention this a lot, but I'm trying to set this as this is separate from missions. But we gotta have that right before we can move on to even missions. And so you get that area of your life right. And at the end of the year, we give out giving statements and all those things. Listen, whatever you give is between you and God. We don't pass the plate. Nobody gets to watch and see what you're dropping in the plate. That's between you and God. And God knows the truth about the thing. And I really don't care. I want you to be blessed, but that's between you and God, right? You wonder sometimes, though, man, how in the world? Listen, if you drop God a $10 tip once a week, you're telling me you're living off $100 a week? Amen. And you wonder why you're struggling so bad in some areas. There's a whole lot that can be preached on that. So that's God's method of taking care of the church and getting things going. And then above and beyond that, moreover, it says in the book of Corinthians, and you'll hear Pastor Ellis, when he comes and preaches, he'll say moreover 100 times when he preaches. He loves preaching on missions. Moreover, above and beyond what we do, God lays something on our heart that we give towards the church in the area of missions. Faith, promise, missions. We trust God will provide the number He lays on our heart, and we give it to God, and then He continues to bless above and beyond. That's missions in a nutshell. We're going to be talking about it throughout the month. But we want to be able to do more for God when it comes to this area of missions. You know, the gospel is why we're here. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is why we are here. We need to see people get saved. We are supposed to magnify Christ to the world. You see, the thing is that some of us think that the reason we're here is so that we could live a great life and enjoy all the pleasures of this world. That's not why we're here. Now listen, in obedience to Christ in the area of tithe and missions, God will give you a good life. I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do it. And it can be done the right way. I want to look at a truth in the Scriptures here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. In the first message of the series I'm going to try to do on missions, if the Lord will help us, is entitled Diseased Feet. Diseased Feet. Let's read through several verses here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 through verse number 11. Now listen, I've got a lot of ground to cover, and I'll do the best I can. We do not have church on Sunday night. So what does that mean? It means I'm not stopping at 12. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse number 1, he said, well, I made plans. You shouldn't make plans before like 3 o'clock on Sundays. Amen. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 1. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abilim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now I'm going to go look at the backstory of some of this in just a moment. But King Asa has a problem that has arose in his life, and he's trying to get this problem resolved. Verse number 7, and at that time, Hananiah the seer, we know in Scripture that is a prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. We read a story here of Asa, this king, and I'm going to go to the backstory here in just a moment. But he runs into a problem with his kingdom, with his people, and with his enemies. And he comes up with a solution that does not involve God. And he ends up with a horrible disease of the feet. Now, the first time the word feet shows up in the Bible is in reference to three men bringing news to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. They're bringing news concerning a son being born. They're coming to tell Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a son by the name of Isaac. They're also bringing news of destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The second time the word feet shows up in the Bible, it is bringing a news of salvation to Lot and his family, and more news of destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Every time just about we find the word feet in the Bible, it is in reference to somebody delivering a message. Delivering a message. You see, this morning, your feet represent your purpose. Your feet take you to the place that you want to be, the place you want to go, to fulfill the purpose that you have on your heart and on your mind. We read in the book of Proverbs about the young man who followed after the wrong kind of people, and the Bible talks about his feet taking him to places he shouldn't go. We don't think a lot about feet. Feet are ugly. Amen. I don't think any feet look good. Amen. I'm getting one amen over here. But I think my wife's feet are okay. Mine definitely are not. It was in our wedding vows that she would not touch my feet. I had to sign off on it. And, you know, feet are an ugly thing. Hold your place in 2 Chronicles 16. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Talking about missions in the gospel this morning, I want to show you a truth out of the story we just read when it comes to this area of missions. Listen, our responsibility toward the gospel is that locally and all over the world. And we find in Scripture that feet represent our purpose. Whether it's running after things that are not right with God or carrying the gospel, we find it throughout Scripture. Many times feet is mentioned in the Bible. And you can study that out sometime if you have time. But our feet tell a story about our purpose. You know, you can take, for the most part, and look at somebody's feet, and you can just about tell them what they do every day based off their feet. When we go to Papua New Guinea, everybody walks everywhere they go, and they do it barefoot. Their feet look different than our feet. That's just what they do. If you find somebody that's on their feet all the time for their job, their feet are going to be different than other people's feet. A couch potato's feet's going to look different from somebody that works in service and they're standing up all the time. Right? They're going to look different. They're going to feel different. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 15. Let me tell you what the Bible says our purpose should be in our feet. Are y'all okay this morning? Did I kill it by saying we're talking about money for 4 weeks in a row? I hope not. There's more than just the financial part of the gospel abroad. There's local missions also that we need to tell people about Christ. But this area of our feet. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 15. If you're there, say amen. This is the armor of God. I'm not going to deal with the whole subject because there's not time. But verse number 15, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the what? The gospel of peace." Our purpose in life this morning should be the gospel. We understand we have to take care of our family, but we've established on Wednesday nights we're going over the family and we've been dealing with finances on Wednesday night and being good stewards of God's money. We understand that if we live right and we do right and we trust God, that all of our needs will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about raiment. You don't have to worry about shelter. All those things God said He will take care of. You have no reason to worry about those things. We just serve God and do right. He'll take care of all those. And He'll go above and beyond that and give you the desires of your heart, as long as your desires don't contradict with His desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so these are things we shouldn't have to worry about. But God provides a living for a man. The Bible talks about how it is good for a man to work. It's good for a man to work. And so we understand that God provides wisdom. He provides the means for a man or a woman to be able to get money. We find in Proverbs 31 that wise woman, she knew how to make money. Man, she had a side hustle and was making money, but it was one that was right with God, by the way, not a wrong one. And so she was able to make this money, and God blessed her for these things. So God provides wisdom and gives you the means to take care of your family. But He doesn't do that for you to spend it all upon yourself. Our purpose is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take what God gives us, and if we absorb it upon ourselves, I'm telling you, that's when the water will stop flowing. It is when we allow it to flow through us back out to help other people. When I talk about missions, listen, I am a local church. I believe that everything needs to go through the local church. But there may be times in your life where God wants you to help an individual. And I think that's okay, amen. I think it's okay to say, hey, I want to help these folks out. I want to be a blessing to them. That's okay. When it comes to worldwide missions and all those things, I believe it needs to go through the local church. But God blesses us and He gives us these things. And our purpose ought to be the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. You know, as we go to work, we're saying, Lord, thank You for providing for my family and thank You for the extra blessings You give me. But God, I pray that You would help me to be able to do more for You when it goes to spreading the gospel. God has not called me to the mission field in a foreign country. There's people that have asked me about going, and I don't have peace about going to some of those places. And so guess what? I'm not going. Even though I've been asked, if the Lord tells me to, I'll go. But this is where God has called me. But yet it's my responsibility, Brother Jeremy, to see souls saved over there. How do I do that? I pray for them. I ask God, say, Lord, what would You have me to do in the area of missions? And then He tells me, and then I faithfully every month trust God to give it to me and put it in the plate. There's times in our life where we do that and God blesses you, and all of a sudden you say, man, where did this extra money come from? Well, now I can have another payment to make on another vehicle. When God said, no, dummy, I gave that to you for missions. We talked about this. Our purpose should be the gospel. Talk about having our feet shod with the preparation. You understand that having your feet shod is a way of protection for your feet. This man Asa ended up with a diseased feet. And when I was over in Papua New Guinea, I was soaking wet. We got stranded in the jungle for a few days. And it rained every day. I was soaking wet. And I knew that it would not be a good idea for me to keep my socks and shoes on the whole time because of just everything being wet. And so sorry if this is nasty to you. But I walked around barefoot a lot while I was there. Well, I came back and my feet were awful. They hurt. They had all kind of, I don't know what it was. Sarah said I had leprosy and I couldn't come in the house for 7 days. She said, we were reading in Leviticus and she goes, you got to stay outside for 7 days. And we got to make sure this thing don't spread. I mean, my feet were messed up. Why? Because I wasn't used to those elements. I had bug bites all over my feet. I mean, my feet were the tops of them, not from walking, but from bug bites and from scratches were bleeding. There's one day we were in a village and the sun finally came out for a little while and I knew I needed a bath. I hadn't had a bath in a couple of days, so I went down to the river and man, I just needed to get in there and get clean. And so I went in there, I was washing up and I got back out and just to find out, they said, hey, there's piranhas in that river. They said, it's okay to go in there as long as you're not bleeding. I had been bleeding from my feet and I got home and Sarah remembers seeing my feet. They were messed up. From walking in the shoes and those socks that are wet for so many days and for walking around barefoot and all those things. My feet were messed up. And Jesus Christ gives the instructions to the church when it comes to the armor of God to shod your feet. Put protection on your feet. Why? Because your feet are going to serve the purpose of spreading the gospel. Protect your feet. Let me give you an illustration of this in Mark chapter 6. Are y'all still with me? Mark chapter 6, very quickly, I got to get through here and get back to our text and give you the truth about this thought. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7. When you find your place, if you would, say amen. All right, Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7. We find the example of this truth about this feat. Verse number 7, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He's sending out these disciples as missionaries to carry some good news. Verse number 8, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. This is an example of stepping out by faith and trusting God's going to take care of you. That's what this is an example of right here. Verse number 9, don't take these things with you, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. He's sending them out, said, don't take this, but he said, protect your feet. Shod your feet. Protect your feet. Verse number 10, and he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be no more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Verse number 12. This is a picture of missionaries going out. They're going out to preach the kingdom message here in this passage. He told them to protect their feet. Our feet tell a story about our purpose. You understand this morning, the gospel protects our feet. Talk about shodding our feet. The gospel protects. This world is a dangerous, dirty place. And you know what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does for us spiritually? It protects our feet. When we carry the gospel, our purpose is the gospel. It will protect your feet out in this dirty world. He told these disciples to shod their feet, protect their feet as they carry the gospel. You know, the gospel will help keep you clean. It'll help keep you clean. It'll help keep your feet clean. The gospel will keep you beautiful. It'll keep your feet beautiful. Romans chapter 10, very quickly, and we're going to get back to our text in just a second. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Look at verse number 13. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. There, say amen. This is dealing with the gospel here. Verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All right, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We have a missionary come through our church. They're going to present the gospel. We have a responsibility to help send them. And they have beautiful feet that they get to go out and do that. And you know what? You have beautiful feet when you go across the street and hand somebody a track. You have beautiful feet, protected feet, and help from God when we're able to witness to our neighbors and our family. And as missionaries come through, and they come through here, and we're going to have some come for missions conference, and they drop in on a Wednesday night, or they drop in on a Sunday. Listen, they come through, and all they're trying to do is get to the field that God called them to, and we have instructions from God's Word here in Romans 10, over in the book of Corinthians, to help send them so that they can go give the gospel. And God, in return, will bless us. I believe God's blessed our church for that simple reason. The very first service we ever had as White Oak Independent Baptist Church, we took on 3 missionaries the very first service. And we haven't looked back. Amen. And you know what I want to do? I want to do more. You say, you're just selfish. Yeah, I want to do more for the area of the gospel. I want twice as many missionaries. Amen. I want to support missionaries. These folks are out here. And you know what? When somebody gets saved, we get it to our account that they got saved. The area of missions. The Bible said in Song of Solomon 7:1, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes. What shoes are we talking about this morning? The gospel. Having our feet shod with the gospel. The quote in Romans chapter 10 comes from Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Our purpose as a local church and as a child of God ought to be to send and spread the gospel. When God blesses us, that ought to be our purpose, to send and spread the gospel. I hope you're getting something out of this, and if you don't like it, it's going to be a few weeks of it. If you want me to tell your husband to love you better and your wife to submit to you and your kids to do right, come on Wednesdays, we'll try to do that. But on Sundays, this is what we're preaching for a few weeks. I believe God takes special care in the area of missions, and we ought to as well. And you know what's just so good about our God? He blesses you in return. He blesses. And if the thought crosses your mind of I can't be involved in missions, then you're counting God out immediately. And that was one of the areas that Asa failed in that we're going to go look at here in just a second. Go back to our text. Let me run through here. Asa had a good start. We're going to look at that. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. Let's just walk through his life very quickly and look at a few verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Go back two chapters from where we started. We find out that Asa was born into a royal family. His father was a ruler. His father was a king. In 2 Chronicles 14 verse 1, so Abijah slept with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Why was there so much peace in these 10 years of Asa's reign? Verse number 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. You know this morning that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be where you're doing that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. You remember when you first got saved? Hey man, we were hollering the dates out a little bit. You remember when you first got saved and you wanted everything that was not right with God out of your life? I mean, those that truly got born again, God began to show you things in your life that just weren't right and good. The preacher could get up and preach on tithing and you're getting rid of stuff in your house because you said, man, God told me to get rid of this. Didn't even preach on it. The Holy Spirit just began to show you things that wasn't right with God. Well, Asa had that kind of start. Everything God, he began, in verse number 3, he began to tear down everything that wasn't right with God out of his life. In verse number 3, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. He is cleaning house. He's wanting to do what's right in the eyes of God. And God begins to bless Asa. We find out later in chapter 16 that the house of God had all these treasures and all these gold and silver. God began to bless Asa because he did what was right and what was good. You know, God wants to bless you. If we would just get out of the way, God could bless us. Get out of the way and trust Him. He tore down all the high places. Look at verse number 11. Y'all still with me? Verse number 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee. You know, he said, nothing is too hard for God. He's going to take care of us. That was Asa's attitude. Do you remember when you used to have that attitude? There's nothing too hard for God. He's going to take care of this. Life continues and life goes on. Chapter 15 and verse number 1. And verse number 2, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Odeb. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. God sent Asa, a preacher, about halfway through his life. He's doing right. He's living right. And he sends a preacher by to say, keep doing right. Keep trusting God and he'll keep blessing you. But if you don't, the blessings will be cut off. Asa has this warning from God. But then, look in verse number 11 of the same chapter. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought. They're giving their tithes. 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. You know, they are so fired up about how good God is and how God's going to take care of them. They said, if anybody's not seeking after the Lord and they're not doing right, we're going to kill them. I mean, they're fired up about what God's going to do. You might get Asa and all these men that said, hey, if they're not seeking after God, they're not living right, we're just going to kill them. Hey, man, I'm glad I don't go to that church. then chapter 16 rolls around. Asa started out right. He trusts the Lord with everything. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And then all of a sudden, as time goes on and life goes on, we find a story here in 2 Chronicles 16 that I believe could describe some people today. When you first got saved, you were on fire for God. Man, if there was a project, you were throwing money in the plate, even if you didn't have it. I only got $20, and that's what I need for my gas tank to get home, but I'm going to give it to missionaries. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to trust the Lord with everything. I'm going to go tell people about the day I got saved. I'm going to give out tracts. And then life happens and time goes on. And next thing you know, we're like, well, the plate's going around, but all I have is 20 and I need to put it in the tank. All I have left is this money. God, I know you're telling me to give it, but I've got to take care of this. And Asa went from trusting God with everything. Lord, I trust you with everything. There's nothing too hard for you. To a scenario where he said, Lord, I know what you said, but I'm in trouble and I've got to take care of this. I want to give you this thought here. And I know it's 12. How do we get from Asa doing right and good in the eyes of the Lord to him having diseased feet and not seeking after God? He didn't go to God. He went to the doctors, and that's a whole other message. I want to just give you this real quick. How somebody ends up with diseased feet. And we're talking about missions and doing things for God and our tithes and offerings, missions, and God, the gospel going around the world. Let me give you just five things quickly. I'm just going to give them to you. The first thing was his focus was taken off Christ. You see, before this point, in verse number 16, the threat had come in. This Baasha, king of Israel, showed up and he's building the city to the intent that nobody can get to Asa and Asa can't get to anybody else. Before this, every time a situation came up, Asa said, God, I'm not worried about it. You're going to take care of it. There's nothing too hard for you. There's no matter too great for you. But now he's like, oh no, what am I going to do? Isn't it funny how sometimes you go through things and God takes you through them and you shout the glory and then the very next day you get a phone call and you're saying, what are we going to do? Well, what are we going to do? Falling apart. But you know what? It ought to be another opportunity for you to say, Lord, what are you going to do? I trust you, Lord. The first thing we find about him is he takes his eyes off Christ. He puts them on the predicament. It was not long ago that he made a covenant with God that, Lord, I'm going to trust you with everything. And if they don't seek you, we're going to kill them. And now he runs into a problem and he begins to take his eyes off Christ. His focus was taken off Christ. Number two, his finances were redirected. Look there in verse number two. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. What happened? His focus was taken off Christ. His finances were redirected. He is taking what belongs to God and trying to use it to fix his problem. How many times do we go and we're dealing with bills and we're dealing with life? Life happens. And we take what belongs to God, our tithes, our missions, and we say, Lord, I understand that I'm supposed to give you this tithe. I understand I'm supposed to give you this money to further the gospel when it comes to missions. But Lord, you don't understand. I've got a problem. And I've got to use this money for something else. That's what happened to Asa. He took it out of the Lord's house, something that belonged to God, and he gave it to an enemy to try to get some help. He was trying to buy his way out of trouble. We find that his focus was taken off of Christ. His finances were redirected. He takes something that belongs to God and tries to buy his way out of trouble. We find out that his friends change. You know, it wasn't long ago that God was his friend. It wasn't long ago that God's the one that helped him. It wasn't long ago that God was the one that was given glory for his life. But now he's crying out to this other king for help, Ben-Hadad, in verse number 2 and 3. Look at verse number 3. There's a league between me and thee. His partnership, his friendship changed. So, Brother Andrew, what does any of this have to do with the gospel? I'm talking about where we get in our life where our feet get diseased. Our feet that's supposed to carry the gospel. Our feet that's supposed to send the gospel around the world. What takes place in our life where that changes? When we get our eyes off of Christ and we start getting them on all of our troubles. I'm telling you, this world's a mess and it's going to be a mess. It's a disaster. But you know what? I trust God. That doesn't mean I take all my finances and dump it into protecting myself. I continue to serve God and let Him take care of me. I continue to trust Him. His focus was taken off Christ. His finances were redirected. The same thing happens in our life. We can't give to missions. We can't tithe the way we're supposed to. Why? Because we have to fix this ourselves. And we take what belongs to God and we use it on ourselves. His friends changed. We begin to go to other people to ask advice. I'm telling you, I would be careful going to anybody outside of a church to ask for advice. Especially if they're lost. And even if they say they're saved, I have a hard time trusting somebody that doesn't believe this is the Word of God. Their friends change. Well, Dr. Phil said this. Or Oprah said this. Or Sean Hannity said this. Oh, really? Well, what did God say? I believe He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I believe He said that if you'll seek me with your whole heart, that He will bless you and take care of you. I believe that's what God said. His friends changed. He began to get advice from other places. And you know, when that happens, our obligation to missions and to the church begins to dwindle away. It's not a priority no more. I mean, every now and again, if we think about it, we'll just throw God a tip or drop five in. Or if the missions plate goes around, whatever spare change we have, we'll drop in there. Stan, we live in a cashless society just about. But listen, God lays something on your heart, you obey Him. Well, I didn't have the money today, Lord. I know You told me to give 100 in there, but I just didn't have it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Nick. Where is Charlie Grace when I need her? Amen. You say, what do I do in that situation? You go get it or write a check and deal with it later. God told me to do this. Amen. The last thing I have is he forsook godly advice. His focus was taken off Christ. His finances were redirected. His friends changed. And he forsook godly advice. You know what happens? When your feet begin to get diseased and you're numb towards the gospel, you'll start forsaking Bible preaching. You'll start forsaking the Word of God. You'll start saying, that's just His opinion. When not long ago you were like, preacher, thank you for preaching. And now it's like, I can't believe you're saying that. That's just your opinion, preacher. You're meddling. People say, you stepped all over my toes, and I apologize for stepping on your toes because I was aiming for your heart. Amen? Look at verse number 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer, this is the preacher, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah. Hey, isn't it good that God sends a preacher to try to warn and say, hey, wake up. You're going the wrong direction. Look what he says here. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. Therefore, the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. And he goes on to tell him about the great things God has done. End of verse 8. Because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them in thy hand. When you trusted God, he took care of it. In verse number 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. The preacher shows up, said, you've made some bad decisions. Here's the repercussions. And you know what? Thank God he sent a preacher, and Asa could have repented, got right with God, and said, I'm going to trust God. Lord, I'm sorry for not trusting you. I'm going to trust you. But you know what he did? He got mad at the preacher. He got wroth. The Bible said in verse 10, wroth with his ear. And not only did he get mad at him, he put him in prison. I'm sure there's people that have put me in prison in their mind. Locked me up. Locked up other preachers. Why? For just trying to give you what the Lord gave to help you. To turn you around. Going in the right direction. He was already warned one time before in the previous chapter, in chapter 15. But yet he got mad for being told the truth. And we see this play out when it comes to the area of the gospel. You take your focus off Christ. You start redirecting your finances. Your attitude towards church and towards God and towards the preacher changes. It'll change. Your attitude towards the things of God will start to change. I want to show you one other symptom that goes along with this, and I'm finished. One other symptom that goes along with forsaking godly counsel. And that's in verse number 10 at the very end. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. The same time he got mad at the preacher and locked him up in prison, he began to take it out on everybody around him. I've seen this time and time again. They get sideways with God, sideways with the preacher, and they begin to take it out on everybody around them. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. I'm not right with God. Nobody's going to be happy. And now there's hell in the home, and there's disaster, and there's just problems, and we're taking it out on one another when the problem is us and God. And our heart is not towards Him anymore. Our heart has turned toward our circumstance, toward ourselves. Your feet need to be cleaned up. Miss Sarah, would you come to the piano? Everyone stand. Head bowed and eyes closed if you would. Listen, I tried to obey the Lord this morning, what I preached. How is our feet? Are your feet clean? Or have they gotten a little dirty? Have you been obeying the Lord in this area of giving and missions? We got to have our heart right towards God so He can, in return, bless us. I want to ask a question this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do our feet need to be cleaned up? Is there areas that God spoke to our heart that we need to talk to Him? You understand this morning, the gospel is what keeps our feet clean. And she begins to play. Don't end up with diseased feet. Asa had diseased feet. And this very thing ended up killing him. Ended up killing him. I want my heart and my feet, my mind and all the things God's blessed me with to have a focus towards the furtherance of the gospel. I don't want to end up with diseased feet. God's been so good. God is blessed and He's been so gracious to us. And I'm thankful for all that He's done. I don't ever want to get to the place where I neglect to realize where my help comes from. I don't ever want to take the blessings that God gives me to be able to bless others and turn it upon myself and end up with dirty feet. End up with diseased feet. I don't ever want to take the message that God sends. End up despising it, getting mad. I'd much rather say, Lord, if there's anything in this area that you'd have for me, I pray you'd help me to do right in your sight. To please you. Asa started off right. There's many, many people start off right. And when they got saved, they wanted to be involved in anything God had going on. But then life and this world with its constant draw has taken us away from what our purpose is, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The furtherance of the gospel. Amen. All right, you can look up here. Appreciate you being good listeners this morning.